Hello, and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair's senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair's senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Kate Middleton and everything in between.
On this week's episode, we are going to discuss how the Cambridges and Sussexes ran in Father's Day. They took very different approaches. We will discuss it all. Also, Harry and Meghan have a new nanny. We're going to get into that.
We are also going to chat about royal ascots. But this is very exciting because I'm in the studio with Josh in New York.
And if you can hear our enthusiasm over the phone and our exuberance, it is for that reason. I'm so happy Julie is here. We're both in New York. We are...
Big smiles on our faces.
Yeah, we're both delighted. And yeah, we have a lot to get into. I wish we could say we had done a wild, like, sort of event last night or anything, but Julie just got here this morning.
I just got here, but we have a lot of possibilities in the next 48 hours or so. Who knows where these hours will take us.
That's right.
Josh's eyes opened so wide, like almost startled. He didn't know what I had in store.
I know. I was expecting you to take me, like, blindfold me and take me on, like, a crazy adventure tonight to, like, show up at, like, Meg Ryan's townhouse or something.
If I have been holding out on you all this time, and I had her address.
I don't know where Meg Ryan's townhouse is the first thing I thought of, but that's where I'm hoping someday someone will take me. So let's discuss Father's Day, which is now what we're recording this on Wednesday, a few days ago. I feel like the Instagram has really changed the royal game so much, and we now get, like, every holiday we're seeing how Harry, Meghan, Kate, and William are deciding to celebrate it on Instagram. It's very different and kind of strange.
It's an interesting metric because you can't really compare them as couples, but
yeah, but it's,
this
but it's very
medium,
but it,
and how they use it, how
exactly
effective they are using it is an interesting contrast. I think Father's Day might be the best example of their different social media styles yet. Right,
so, Julie,
Josh?
I'm dying to hear what your thoughts were on. So if Harry and Meghan basically use this as an opportunity to share a new Archie photo.
Right. And why wouldn't you? I love that. I wasn't even expecting it. I didn't sign on thinking, oh, I wonder what they're going to do. But I was blown away. Because at this point, we've only seen the video footage of him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When Meghan and...
When Meghan and Harry did that little, like... Well, and we've seen for Mother's Day, his foot...
His foot, but this time his mouth is obscured, I'd say. Harry's holding him. We see Harry's ring, and a lot of media outlets made a big deal about the ring because William and Charles don't wear a wedding ring.
Right.
So that alone is enough to comment on. But Harry's kind of cradling the kid. You see his forehead, eyebrows, eyes, part of the nose maybe.
It's interesting. It's kind of, I'll pull it up on this monitor now, but it's very obscured. Well, not very.
No, less obscured than the foot.
You basically see his hand, Harry's hand is so much the prominent element in the photograph. It's kind of an interesting composition. I love how the top comment we see here is Nickelodeon commenting Happy Father's Day.
But they really want to get in on this Archie action.
You see, yeah, no, that's true. You actually do get sort of a sense. I did see, like, maybe it was a Daily Mail article that kind of royal obsessives were trying to figure out what Archie looked like from this Instagram and having trouble completely piecing it together.
But I've seen a lot of photos of Harry as a baby. They look very similar, I feel like.
Really?
The head shape.
To this. You're basically seeing the top half of his head.
Right. And he has his hand kind of around Harry's finger.
Yeah, it's very cute.
And what does the caption say?
So the caption reads, Happy Father's Day! And wishing a very special first Father's Day to the Duke of Sussex. And then it's copyrighted to Sussex Royal, but I was wondering who took the photo.
I know, we don't know. We don't know if it's Meghan.
Was it? I know, my first thought immediately went to Meghan must have taken it, but I feel like if she had taken it, they might have credited her.
Right. Or else maybe...
Or wouldn't have wanted to make a big deal about
right.
that she had taken it, so maybe they just wanted
They're
to leave it
They're letting Harry have his moment. But I thought this was really...
And an interesting contrast to the Mother's Day photo, which is much more I mean, I haven't seen it in a while. I forgot how Instagram influencery the Mother's Day photo is, because you basically get this like floral backdrop and you see the feet, and there's a super long, like the poem that she includes with the quote and like this kind of long caption. It feels like a very different approach to what they did for Father's Day.
Right. But with William and Kate, they only really debut new photos, it seems like, on the children's birthdays, major right. occasions. I feel like by sharing a new photo of a baby on Father's Day, that's a more open approach. I appreciated it.
Yeah, me too. I kind of feel like this feels a little more natural.
There's a heavy sepia tone on the photo.
Yes, we got some DMs about that. I feel like you're more of the photographer than me of our duo. What what? People were surprised it wasn't black and white. Were you surprised by that?
I wasn't bothered by the sepia. I thought Archie looks very sweet, the whole photo, the moment. And I appreciated them sharing it with us. We should also mention that it's gotten over 2 million likes.
Yeah, 2.3.
So keep that in mind as we flip to the Cambridges' Father's Day.
Wow, I love Julie really going full battle royale with this.
Well, so I saw Archie's photo first. I don't know whether or not they posted it first, but then seeing the Cambridges' pictures after their post, it almost seemed like an afterthought. The only caption, it just says Happy Father's Day exclamation point. So there isn't like a little personal flourish like there is with the Sussexes. And it's a slideshow. The first photo is one we've already seen before. It's William and Prince Louis on the swing in Kate's garden. The second photo is William and Charles walking away from a helicopter. So this got less than 500,000 likes, which I understand
why.
Wow,
that's a big discrepancy.
But they aren't showing a new photo of the kids. Also, it's a little strange to me that they didn't at least represent all of William's children in the gallery.
Well, there's two things, I guess. The caption is so bare bones here. Happy Father's Day. That's it. They're really not giving you a lot with the caption, which is, you know, fine.
To me, this feels like they forgot about it. They weren't going to post anything.
They saw the Harry Meghan post and were like, immediately, we have to get to this.
Right.
Yeah, it's a little unusual. We were talking about this earlier, but like Us Weekly posted something that was trying to make a super salacious controversy out of the fact that George and Charlotte weren't pictured in the Father's Day post. I don't know if I think that's so wild or anything, but it is kind of interesting. I feel like there's a lot of other photos they could have gone with here. We've already seen a lot of the garden. If they really wanted to,
they could have taken an outtake from the garden photo shoot.
Right. They could have done something that hadn't been seen before if they'd really wanted to generate some interest. I guess maybe we're supposed to take from this that they're not as focused on drawing attention to the Instagram. But
I don't know, because we're going to visit a different event that they Instagrammed about this week where there's a lot more attention
It is kind of wild, though, that just like kind of ordinary posts about like Royal Ascot have basically the same amount of likes as their Father's Day post, which like seems surprising to me, no? I love how these captions really are just going in, though. Apparently, Kate doesn't have a dad, and William only has one child. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess you really can't win here. Also, this is a good point. It's strange that there was no post on this account for Mother's Day.
Oh, my gosh. I almost feel like someone was fired over this.
I think there's two things. Yes, but also that I feel like maybe we're seeing here really the influence of the Sussex Royal account.
Well,
because I feel like they wouldn't have done a Father's Day post in the past. And now that they see that the Sussex account is doing it, they feel like they have to be doing it.
Right. And I think this is a good point, a good moment to then get into. Just a few days later, the Cambridge's Instagram account kind of went wild documenting this event Kate attended, which they've never gone into this sort of, no. I don't know,
the best string of texts I've ever gotten from Julie was like a full dissection of these Instagram stories.
So she attended an Action on Addiction event, the first annual gala dinner in recognition of Addiction Awareness Week. Now, I wasn't entirely sure what that meant, and I didn't glean any additional hints from the Instagram story. It's a bunch of black and white photos of Kate in this off-the-shoulder gown, white gown. It's incredible. Her walking, someone is holding an umbrella for her.
Yeah, it's very glam.
She was like backstage in a kitchen, but they definitely did a lot of Instagrammer influencer moves. There were a couple frames where there were three different photos.
Makes me feel like they hired some sort of new team that would follow, you know, Ariana Grande or something. Because it just, they had so much content for this this kind of like, Kate goes to a lot of these events every week. And I feel as if they really were trying to do something different with how much they were posting, the kind of behind the scenes content.
I know, it was a marked difference. A side note, I was speaking to my 18-year-old cousin this weekend who's trying to like gain momentum on, she has like a Pittsburgh influencer blog.
Can we get her on the podcast and like kind of get into this with her?
But she was telling me the science behind her posts. She has to filter. She uses like very precise levels on every photo so they have the same aesthetic. I almost feel like my cousin could give the Cambridges a little bit of a hint here because I feel like they're just
all over the board. Yeah,
they need to at least have a somewhat easy
transition. And I do appreciate, and on that point, I actually feel like Harry and Meghan have done a really good job of sort of presenting like a consistent feel.
Right.
Even though I guess the sepia threw people off, like I feel like there's always they have a very similar vibe to their posts.
I agree with that.
But yeah, the Instagram storying for the Action on Addiction event was very intense.
I know. So one behind the scenes photo had Kate backstage meeting everybody working in the kitchen. And it had these behind the scenes captions that just, I've never seen anything like this before on an official Cambridge post. One said, "Jay is a key member of the front of house staff, Action on Addiction's dry bar in the city. He has worked in the hospitality industry for 7 years, having now been clean and sober for 9 years," which is a great little slide, but I would have loved to have just seen Jay. Instead, we see Kate in this off-the-shoulder gown, and Jay is but a small percentage of this frame in the background.
I feel like the fact that they're even spotlighting by name feels surprising to me.
But this comes about a week after, remember, the Sussexes announced that they would be following different initiatives and charities each month to spotlight.
Right.
But it was also funny to me because they had a Meghan-length caption to this whole event.
I mean, I've never seen them post in any way that intensely.
Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's flip on to the next subject.
Yes. So the nanny situation. So I guess I feel like there was so much attention back when Kate and William first hired their nanny, Maria Barallo, who had come from that kind of like very, I can't believe I just knew that from the top of my head.
The fact that you had that name just on.
But she had come from that, you know, the training system of sort of royal nannies. Julie, what do we know about Harry and Meghan's?
Harry and Meghan are trying to keep her identity a secret. So far, Omid Scobie at Harper's Bazaar has only released, I think, two key details. The nanny is a British-born female, and she is not permanently based at Frogmore Cottage. She also is not working
weekends.
So she
doesn't live there full-time?
She doesn't.
Interesting.
A close friend of the couple told Bazaar, "Family life could not be more perfect for Harry and Meghan. Ever since Archie arrived, they haven't stopped smiling. The sleepless nights are totally worth it."
That's such a tabloid story quote. Meghan and Harry have things covered on the weekend. Oh, wow. So the nanny doesn't work on weekends.
Right. And so there were a couple kind of catty media outlets that said Meghan really likes to be in control and she's having a hard time ceding control to this nanny. According to one royal commentator, Victoria Arbiter, Meghan will be schooling the nanny on how she wants baby Archie raised. Ms. Arbiter hinted that the pair would also be preparing for their trip to Africa while they balance the responsibility of raising their first child. Josh, what do you think Meghan's school of nannying looks like?
I mean, I kind of love that the verb here is Meghan will be quote-unquote schooling the nanny. I mean, I know so little about parenting and rearing and how you're supposed to raise a kid, but I imagine Meghan having an approach of, like, let the kid guide you, like, not getting in the way of the kid's development, like, listen to his spirit kind of thing, you know? I feel like she doesn't want you to say anything about, like, his... You know, like, parents who don't want you to talk about, like, their kids' like appearance or the way they're, like, you know, achievements or something like that. I feel like she has a very, she's trying to raise him to be as kind of normal as possible.
Right. I feel like she'd be, my sister Grace has a baby now, and Grace is very calm. She speaks to this baby in the most soothing tone at all times. I feel like I could see Meghan.
I could see
doing
Meghan
that.
Having some, like, kind of nice ambient lighting, some kind
yes.
of. Like earth tone music.
Maybe there's a crystal in the nursery.
I also don't, I have trouble imagining though that you have no one helping them on weekends or that there's not, I don't know, like if you have the resources Meghan and Harry have, why wouldn't you have people helping you at all
times?
Well,
that's what we say, but neither one of us is.
Yeah, we're not exactly necessarily the number one experts on this, but I'm curious if we'll ever find out who the nanny is. They've done a good job with, like, we still don't know what their dog's name is. I always come back to that. We still don't know. Like, I mean, I'm just curious. They're pretty good about when they don't want something being revealed, keeping it secret.
I would also like to note that we have not heard more from Thomas Markle since the birth of this baby.
No, but we have seen him on Father's Day.
The Daily Mail tracked him down.
I sent Julie this at like 6 a.m. I like couldn't sleep one night. And I was looking through my phone. What a sad state of affairs that when I can't sleep at night, that's what I'm doing, like finding Daily Mail articles about Thomas Markle and sending them to Julie. But Julie, my question for you on the Thomas Markle, to go on a little bit of a tangent, is he was photographed by the Daily, or the Daily Mail has the photos on Father's Day, but do we think it was staged? Do we think, we haven't seen him in so long, why do we think all of a sudden we're seeing him?
I don't think Tom would be that...
He would know at this point not to do staged photos, I guess.
Right.
But don't you think it's kind of interesting that all of a sudden now we're seeing him again? Or do you think it's just a coincidence?
I think it's a coincidence. I don't think he would be. I think he knows that if he were to stage anything else, it would be the end.
He knows that's not okay, right? I guess that's true. But he was at a hardware store walking out with sort of a, I guess, some sort of cart of items. I
yeah,
love
he
that
he is in a button-down shirt though,
and I love that in one of the captions they tell you what he bought, because you really, they're in the store with him.
Now that I'm seeing these photos, all of a sudden I don't know whether or not
I know
staged.
I actually hadn't seen these two. You really see him in the aisles of this Home Depot on Father's Day. The Daily Mail's caption is, retired lighting and photography director Thomas purchased what appeared to be a power washer cleaning solution and a TV cable when he dropped by the Home Depot. It's a little bleak.
It is bleak. But again, I can't stress enough that he's wearing a button-down shirt, which I don't think he even pulled out for the staged photos.
And he has the glasses hanging from...
And the shirt looks pressed.
I mean, the shirt looks great. And he, I mean, he has...
There's a hoodie
there's
over
There's a hoodie
it.
Over it, we should note. But he has... And it looks like his phone is in his front pocket of the button-down, which is a pretty smart way of carrying your phone. Got those glasses ready, hanging in the nook of his neck. I mean, I feel like it's a little interesting that I don't think he staged them, but maybe they knew that would be a good photo op for Father's Day.
I can see that.
And they know he has a new grandfather. Okay, anyway, so that's the Thomas Markle of it all.
Royal Ascot, I'm so excited to talk to you about this. We haven't discussed it. It just happened yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going. So it's a 5-day event. It's one of the biggest sort of social occasions in the UK sort of royal scene.
It's always insane to see these photos because it happens during the day, yet Prince William, Charles are all wearing black top hats, which I've never... Josh, have you ever seen someone just wear a top hat to wear a top hat?
No, but I mean... I don't. I love the kind of the ascot looks. I feel like are the wackiest you see. I feel like they all really go full. Like the colors are wild.
Even Kate's, like her outfit's still very elegant.
But classy. But for her, that was kind of a surprising look.
This is like a Lady Gaga MTV Movie Award costume for Kate Middleton. 100%.
So Kate wore kind of a blue lace. Sort of ensemble, which we're looking at now, and Julie and I are both kind of gazing upon with fresh eyes. It's a kind of wild look.
It's a wild look. She has the top of this dress. It's about calf length. There's a...
Love a calf length. Need detail.
It's a sheer blouse with some sort of like Swiss dot detail on the sleeves. And
I just want to hear Julie describe this dress forever.
She has an amazing silk... gross grain bow around her neck.
The bow was the most surprising feature to me.
Right. The hat, the fascinator, isn't that exciting. It's dyed to match the rest of her outfit, but it's essentially what she wore to the trooping the color.
The flower, though, is a lot.
Right, but she also had one. Maybe they made this flower a little bit bigger, but it's the same style.
The whole thing of wearing a giant flower in your hat, I'm still not sure I've totally gotten a handle on.
But also the fact that this flower in the hat, this is the most demure look of all the fascinators with the flower in the hat.
It's true. I like it. She doesn't necessarily go that... It's exactly what you said. This is the analogy of like a Lady Gaga style awards show look, because I feel like this is a... For her, super surprising.
I know. She's gotten so into that wheelhouse of just the neutral colors, the like conservative crew neck neckline. But I loved seeing it. It looked like she had a phenomenal time.
And it's interesting that, so I'm wondering if you feel, we know this stuff is, I guess it's always a little confusing to try to figure out how much it's prepared in advance. But they basically all wore blue because the queen wore blue, Camilla wore blue. Kate obviously wore blue. Oh, and Beatrice and Eugenie wore blue. That doesn't feel like it could have completely been a coincidence. And I'm curious, who do you think starts that chain? Do you think the queen is like, girls, we're doing blue this year? Like, why does that happen, do you think?
Katie Nichol, Vanity Fair's royal reporter, said that it's kind of a game of the closest royals what color the queen will wear that day, because this is one of her favorite events of the year.
Right.
I guess they make some sort of bet out of it, but it seems like everybody guessed correctly.
And they all do. But that's my question. You think it is a guess?
I think it is a guess just because I don't think the houses, like, if they had that great of communication, a lot of the issues...
A lot of other things would be different, too.
Right. Like, if they could coordinate this...
Right. So now my next question for you. I want to know which carriage you would want to be in. There were two carriages that were described on their way to the Royal Ascot. The Queen hosted King Willem Alexander and Queen Maxima of the Netherlands. And the Queen Maxima had a kind of wild flower hat.
Julie and I are both kind of into. Yeah, it was like dramatic. A dusty rose, but like this chic slant, but just a ton of flowers all along. This very
God,
chic.
Your description of these hats is so... Like, we need a spin-off podcast where you do like fashion commentary. And then a kind of unexpected fourth there, Prince Andrew completed that foursome. So you're getting the two Netherlands king and queen and then Andrew with the queen, though.
Where's Camilla? Camilla, my answer is wherever Camilla is where then, I want to be.
And then Beatrice and Eugenie were in the fourth carriage with the Queen's private secretary, Edward Young, and one of the Queen's cousins, Princess Alexandra.
That seems like a snooze.
Oh, wow. We are not feeling that.
Well, which would you rather be in?
Yeah, that carriage doesn't seem super exciting. And then now we need to figure out what Kate's carriage was. But Kate was having a great time with Zara. I don't know if you noticed all of that. her, like, I guess, William's first cousin.
I know. She was smiling so broadly. Josh, is there any event where you've smiled that much, that often?
I mean, not in that kind of demonstrative, like, over-the-top way. Okay, traveling behind the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge in a carriage three was Princess Anne, the Lord de Moly, Prince Edward, and Sophie, the Countess of Wessex.
The enthusiasm in your voice as you finished off that sentence.
Well, none of these carriages, actually. I feel like I would want to go with the Queen and Maxima.
Right. I love this part, though, you have about someone tried to crack up the Queen.
Right. So Meghan and Harry didn't go. Mike Tyndall, who's Zara's husband, he tried to make the Queen laugh with, as people puts it, a hat trick. So he found himself entertaining, I guess, the Queen is technically his grandmother-in-law. They all were kind of hanging out, and Mike removes his top hat. He reaches inside of it. The Queen is kind of watching him, and he unexpectedly pulled out a miniature hat resembling his own, earning a rare laugh from the famously unflappable Queen. This is from People.com. Sophie and Beatrice cracked up at Mike's magic trick as he placed the miniature head topper back into his top hat and returned it to his head.
So he brought props.
So Julie, what, first of all, like, can you imagine having the confidence to plan a sort of multi-prop related sort
carrot of carrot top style act?
A little bit of a bit to perform for the Queen at her favorite event. The level of sort of, I don't know, confidence in your sense of humor or whatever it is. And then also, do you think the Queen thought this was funny?
I think she did, because she did, even though it wasn't the laugh I was expecting based on the headline, I think she enjoyed
it. She looked bemused, I would say. Not necessarily.
And can you imagine how few people actually had the confidence to do that, try to catch her off guard? So I'm sure she just appreciated the gesture.
That someone was treating her like a normal
person.
Yeah. Though, if someone tried to delight me with that sort of prank, I don't think I would be super thrilled. So I don't know if she necessarily...
you would have them, like, immediately escorted out.
It's kind of, the more I think about it, though, maybe it's sort of funny. Like, he had the little top hat. I mean, for what you can pull off at this event.
True.
It seems like everyone was in a really good mood.
Everyone was in great state. Oh, yeah. Spirits.
I feel like you don't usually see that many Canadas of everyone kind of laughing and cavorting. And
right. Meghan and Harry weren't there. Camilla, of course, she loves that pearl choker.
Yeah. Camilla always seems like she's having a great time. Do you think it's surprising to you at all that Harry didn't go? We knew Meghan wasn't going to.
I don't think it's that surprising, right? Also, he wasn't really needed.
Wow. Yeah, no, I agree. So everyone seemed like happy, even though it was raining. Everyone seemed to be like hanging out, having fun. It was like all these different kind of odd combinations of royals. Kitty Spencer was there, looked great. A lot of kind of like different kind of people in the royal sphere were there. It was a fun one.
It was good.
I guess you probably won't see Meghan again until the christening, I guess.
Right. I know. And the Queen isn't supposed to be there. I guess she has a scheduling conflict.
Oh, really?
That's what I read today.
I wonder, I mean, if you, like, she can't get out of whatever her conflict is. I wonder what it is. So it's a big thing for her to miss.
Yeah, well, don't quote me on that. It's just what I read.
All right. Well, that does it for this week's episode of In the Limelight. Thank you guys so much for listening. There's a lot royal-related going on. Let us know what you think.
Also, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at In the Limelight. You can also reach out to us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller.
I'm at Jay Duboff. We're also on Instagram at In the Limelight Pod. This episode is edited and produced by Brett Fuchs. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. And until then,
no bad energy.